Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show. Again, the 8 o'clock edition on Friday night, this Friday night. It's on every weekday evening. Sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 6:30, sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's 9:30. But generally, I broadcast. And tonight, last night, I spoke about, very briefly, about feminism. Let me make clear that I believe women should have full equality of opportunity in the employment arena. I think you deprive of our society of the talents and abilities of half the human race is absolutely ridiculous. Therefore, I have no issue with women's equality in terms of the workforce. I have no issue with it. I think it's good. But I think there are some bad things about feminism, as it's been projected and interpreted, that I'm concerned about. And tonight, before I begin to speak about feminism, I'm going to speak about a little bit of myself and my background. This is a politically incorrect show. It's a show where the issue is not politics. The issue is not political rhetoric. There is no media lies, media falsehoods, or anything of that character. We are concerned with critical thinking and clear thinking and correct thinking based on, hopefully, on reading great books. That's the key to thought. And as Mortimer Adler said, how to read a book, he said, images are drugs, and the great books such as Herodotus, Thucydides, and Homer, these are the books that stretch your mind and make it great. Those are just some examples. Another of my favorites is John Milton's Paradise Lost, and another of my favorites is St. Augustine's Confessions, and, of course, G.K. Chesterton, and John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. These are the great books. These are the books that stretch your mind and make your mind something more than it possibly could be based on reading the New York Post and the Daily Newspaper, where you are not stretching your mind, you are shrinking your mind. However, I go on, and let me say another element of my presentation. I'm a Christian. I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I believe in the ancient creeds of the Church, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. And if I read books, I read books to stretch my mind and develop myself. I read Christian books such as Augustine's Confessions, such as St. Thomas Aquinas, such as Luther, Calvin, and Bonhoeffer, such as T.S. Eliot, such as Milton. Milton, of course, is one of my top favorites, ladies and gentlemen. Known that very well. He wrote Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained and Samson and Agonistes, three great, great works of art. While he was blind, such was the power of his very powerful mind that he was able to create these great works. So, of course, not only am I a Christian, but I run two radio shows, a podcast show, and a blog talk radio show. I've had over 4,400 visitors to my podcast show from all over the world, and many visitors to the blog talk show, I'm pleased to say, from Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq and Muslim countries. I'm very, very happy to welcome my Muslim brothers and sisters to my shows, my blog talk radio show and podcast show. I'm extremely happy. I want to dialogue them. I want to know them. I want to understand them. I want them to come to me, and I want to come to them in the love of Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm a writer. I've written 10 books. These books are, I think, worthwhile. They're Christian books and legal books. Two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and also a Christian book, Essays of the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, my interpretation of the 41 parables of Jesus. And when you haven't read the parable of Jesus, you have not lived and understood the truth of what he is trying to tell the world in these parables. I also have written a good book on the Psalms, and it has now been Barnes & Noble has said that this book on the Psalms is the top pick of the month of September in terms of book purchases. I'm happy to say that this book has been deemed by Barnes & Noble as the top pick in the month of September for books to buy. The book is a, of course, the Psalms are wonderful. They are great religious poetry. They are lyric poetry. They are religious spiritual poetry. John Donne said of the Psalms that they are the manna of the church. They are the songs of Christ. They are the mind of Christ. And to read the Psalms, you will not live again until you have read the Psalms. As I said, until you read the books I suggest, your mind will be shrunk. If you read them, your mind will be stretched. The Psalms are inspiring. They're wonderful. I memorized when I was in Sunday school as a young person the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm, and I've never regretted it. And I read them in Hebrew in seminary. They're wonderful. They're great works of art. They are not to be missed. And as I said, as Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, these are the books that stretch your mind, that don't shrink your mind into modernity and nonsense, intellectual nonsense. I also have written over 800 blogs that have been visited by many people from countries all over the world. Of course, Muslim countries I include, and China. I'm very happy with the popularity of these blogs on academia.edu, where they are uploaded on a daily basis by many, many people, professors, students, whoever they are, from many countries all over the world, find these blogs of interest. They are theological. Many of them have a theological and biblical content. Some have a political content. Some have a content of current events. Whatever they are, people read them, they upload them, they're interested in them. When people contribute their thoughts to the world takes a look at it. Maybe you don't want to be bothered. Maybe you'd rather spend your time on TV. I personally don't want to do that. I find that distressing, our society extremely distressing, that it should be that we should relegate our young people to the screen, which Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, which is a drug. Images are drugs. Print develops you and raises your mind and your consciousness. So I've written three very important articles in Academicus and an Albanian Scientific Journal on the United States educational system and on the sexual orientation discrimination, and it's been bought by the State Department and many, many institutions throughout the world in Europe and in Asia. And I also wrote an article on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review that I'm pleased to say has been bought not only by the State Department, but by the United States Supreme Court. These things I write, if you choose not to read them, that's your decision. But the people who are reading it are benefiting from it. I don't say I'm that great. I'm not that great. And maybe I should be in damnation and in hell for my selfishness and self-centeredness. But possibly that is where I really should be or where I deserve to be. But I do hope that these works that I create will have benefited the world, whatever happens to me in the future. Last night I spoke about feminism. And tonight I'm going to talk about feminism. And it's found in chapter 45 of my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. I think you'll find it a benefit. I'd like to summarize it. The status of women in Western society and all society has been a problem. This is because most societies are patriarchal, and therefore women may function as defined by the male-dominated power structure. Therefore, men, I think, wish women to be feminine, that is to say, gentle, kind, and compassionate. And perhaps the reason for this insistence, and I'm not sure that these are feminine, female qualities. I think they're qualities equally distributed in male and female, gentle, kind, and compassionate. But men wish to see women as feminine, that is to say, gentle, kind, and compassionate. And perhaps the reason for this insistence is that men wish to see an image of their mothers in every woman, or they wish to dominate by insisting on these qualities on the women around them, possibly. The particular qualities I have mentioned, gentleness, kindness, and compassion, as I said, I do not think are confined or solely the province of the female sex. They are equally distributed in both sexes, and their emergence and dispersion depend on the individual person, man or woman. I think compassion and humanity may be found as much in a particular man or a particular woman. Thus, the quality of being feminine or feminism can be found in either sex. There are men who are football players, boxers, soldiers. There are men who are poets and artists. I'd like to consider in this essay and talk tonight what I think are the qualities which I think are truly found in the female sex. And I don't think that feminism, that the feminine qualities, that gentleness, kindness, and compassion, are necessary female qualities. They are qualities found in both sexes and in the particular individual. However, I think it's fair to say that because women bear children and have the responsibility for caring for their children and husband and taking care of the home, I have to say that I think that nurturing or functioning as a mother are particular female qualities. I think they are. They can be defined as particular female qualities. This is to say to exclude a man who may be nurturing and who may be able to maintain a home and family. But I think that women are more attuned to this function, whether genetically or culturally. So, yes, women, femininity, gentleness and kindness, compassion are not qualities attached to women and can be attached to anyone. But I do think because women bear children and have the responsibility for nurturing and taking care of the home and being a mother, that they have those particular female qualities of nurturing. I think that is a female quality. I'd like to indicate what I think are particular female qualities. Of course, many men wish to see women as feminine. I think they want to see them that way. Feminine or weak. And a fair number wish to perceive the female sex in solely sexual terms and others. So many men want to see women as feminine and weak, or gentle and kind, equals weak. And a fair number wish to perceive the female sex in solely sexual terms. This is unfortunate, but it's a hard fact that pornography and prostitution appeal solely to the male sex. In fact, this has been true for some thousands of years. Cave paintings and many artistic productions, because they are done by men, depict naked women, because that's the way men like to see women depicted, purely in sexual terms. So, we have to understand that men wish to see women as feminine or weak and gentle and compassionate, but also wish to see them in sexual terms. And as I said, pornography and prostitution appeal solely to the male sex, and has been the case for some thousands of years. And cave paintings and many artistic productions, because they are done by men, depict naked women because that is the way men want to see women purely in sexual terms. Of course, I have to say that this depiction by men of female sexuality is erroneous. It is a projection of what men want to see in a woman. Thus, femininity and outright female sexuality, as depicted in pornography and paintings, are not female qualities. I don't think that femininity, compassion, weakness, are particular female qualities. And I don't think that female sexuality is depicted in pornography and cave paintings. They're not female qualities. As I said, the main female quality to be understood is nurturing. I don't think it's cultural. I think it is what constitutes a true female quality in a woman. Women, despite what people say in the modern world, I think they want to have families, homes, and husbands, or at least someone in their lives, a man in their lives. And this nurturing that I described to you is the main and a significant female quality, not femininity, not female naked women in paintings or pornography, but nurturing. These are the main female, this is the main female quality. And what emerges from this situation are what the female qualities actually are. And I'm going to define them. I've said they're involved with nurturing, but there are certain qualities beyond that that are female qualities, may be defined. They are love, devotion, and sacrifice. They involve a degree of pain and involve the subsuming of the mother's personality to the needs of her children and husband. Women marry, although they may deny it, to give love to their husband and children. This involves a lifetime of devotion to the husband and children and great sacrifice. So, I have to say that the additional qualities of nurturing, which I just defined, there are other female qualities such as love, devotion, and sacrifice. This is so because the mothers, whenever a woman marries, her personality and goals are subsumed to the children and husband. And women marry, although they may deny it, to give love to their husband and children and our devotion and have a lifetime of devotion to their husband and children with great sacrifice. So, what I say with the female qualities that I mentioned are nurturing, love, devotion, sacrifice. These are female qualities, not eroticism, not compassion and kindness. That is not a particularly a female quality. It's a human quality. What I've defined as female qualities found only in women are the love, devotion, and sacrifice that only occur in the family and manifest themselves in marriage to the husband and the birth and nurture of children. So I think I've defined what I think are the true female qualities, not femininity and not sexuality. These are not the pornography or cave paintings. These are not female qualities. And they may be sexual qualities men want to see in women or qualities they may want to see in women, but they are not female qualities. Female qualities are in fact, may be found as nurturing within the family, and they are found in love, devotion, and sacrifice. They are found in the love given to the husband and children, to the devotion to the needs of their children and husband, and to the devotion and sacrifice involved in having a family. I want to talk about another, I think, female quality that I think is not quite as prevalent as it has been. That is the desire of a woman to please. A woman who lacks the quality ability to please, I think, may have a deficit in her female structure. I think women have that quality or ability to please, and if they don't have it, they may, in fact, be lacking in true female qualities. Another female quality that I have to discuss before I conclude here is the women have an interest in the person rather than the subject. They have a quality of personal interest and devotion to the person, which men may lack in the role of workers and providers in the business world. So women, the desire to please, I think, is a female quality. Not as prevalent as it used to be, but I think it's a basic female quality. And I think interest in the person rather than the subject, the personal interest or devotion to the person, is a basic female quality that men may lack in their role of workers and providers. So I have to say that it's a mistake to think that compassion, kindness, and gentleness are feminine qualities. They're qualities, they're human qualities, and there are surely as many kind and compassionate men as there are kind and compassionate women, perhaps because women wish to see strength and aggression in men. They conclude that the qualities of compassion, kindness, and gentleness are barred from the female personality. So that's a mistake, obviously. And I think the compassion, kindness, and gentleness are human qualities equally distributed in men and women. And there are surely as many kind and compassionate women as there are kind and compassionate women. Women, I have to say, I have to remember that Jesus was revealed as a man, certainly one of the most compassionate people that's ever lived. So we really are in the throes of a mistake. Perhaps because women wish to see strength and aggression in men, they make this mistake and conclude the qualities of compassion, kindness, and gentleness are barred from the male qualities. If that is so, they're obviously wrong. And by the same token, men wish to say women as kind and gentle, and they may exclude the qualities of strength and aggression, which find their expression in both women and men. Again, aggression and strength are not confined to either sex. In fact, to be a mother and maintain a home and children requires great strength and aggression. So those are human qualities, strength and aggression, not male qualities. And perhaps women, they wish to see those qualities in men and wish to exclude the qualities of kindness and compassion. So I have to conclude this essay by saying that love, devotion, sacrifice, the act of pleasing, these are mostly female qualities, and particularly nurturing is a significant female qualities functioning in the home. And women are more concerned with the person as opposed to the world of business and abstract thought. I'm going to conclude this little talk tonight on this issue. I suggest you look at chapter 25 of my book, What is a Woman, Feminine or Otherwise? I'm going to talk again tomorrow night about feminism, and I hope I've helped clear up a number of misconceptions about female qualities and male qualities, and I hope I've shed some light on a very confused issue today. Confused because the thinking is not critical. It is not thought out. It is generally wasted intellect, repeating the same nonsense that the media throw in front of them with 25-year-old pretty girls all over the place. This is not feminine, not at all. They're not female qualities. They're models. Their sexuality projected as a female quality, and that is not a female quality any more than cave paintings or pornography are female qualities. I hope you've enjoyed this talk tonight, and I hope you benefited from it.